Bishop Robert L. Simpson, first counselor in the bishopric of the church, the presiding bishopric, has had wide experience in both business and in church administration. A native of Salt Lake City, he spent much of his life in Southern California, where he attended public schools and Santa Monica City College, and where he made his home until called to the presiding bishopric of the church in October 1961. In 1958, from that time until 1961, Bishop Simpson was president of the church's New Zealand mission, where he had served previously as a missionary before World War II. He also has served in a ward bishopric, on a stake high council, as a stake mission president, a seminary instructor, and was the servicemen's coordinator for the church in North Africa and the Middle East during the military service he rendered in 1943 to 1945. In business, Bishop Simpson was with the Pacific Telephone Company for more than 20 years, being successively a plant engineer, public relations director, and head of an office, an accounting office, when named to the presiding bishopric's office. During World War II, Bishop Simpson completed his formal education at Yale University as a member of the Air Force. He served as a captain in Egypt, Turkey, Iran, and Arabia, and did special work with the New Zealand Maori Battalion stationed in Cairo, Egypt, for both the government and for the church. His special interests include studies of the Maori culture, sports — he's an excellent golfer — and memberships in a speakers and an engineers club. We're very pleased at this time to have Bishop Simpson with us to address us this morning.
My dear brothers and sisters of the world's greatest university, I am humbled by this experience. I am grateful to my Heavenly Father for this association. And I pray that we might be edified together during these few moments. Before the foundations of the world were laid, God the Father observed, "Yonder is matter unorganized." And then, step by step, following proper procedures, established protocol, the process was set into motion whereby another world was formed by power and authority that transcends and controls all that has been, all that is, all that ever will be, so far as the universe in which we live is concerned. The power and authority by which worlds are created and by which the universe is controlled is the priesthood of God. The same priesthood has been restored to the earth in this day for the blessing of all mankind. The scriptures reiterate time and time again, both directly and indirectly, that God's house is a house of order. This order is maintained in Heavenly Father's kingdom by virtue of the priesthood. Even the order that surrounds us is made possible by priesthood. We see the seasons come and go on schedule, although I must admit we were a little worried about this spring. We observe the planets and stars as they orbit in precise pattern by prearrangement. Among all that lives upon the face of the earth, like begets like. And as everyone assembled here today will testify, there are laws established upon which blessings are predicated. All of these are connected with the order of the priesthood. It is precise and never fails. How thrilling it is to contemplate the weather, the distribution of moisture upon the face of the earth, the regulation of great celestial bodies, of bodies of water, as they're regulated by the moon, the kindly rays of sun bringing us warmth in just the right degree. The sun much closer, and we would roast. More distant, and we would freeze. Everything is just right to maintain life as we know it, not by accident, not by chance, but rather as a function of the priesthood, by design, the result of superb planning. By what great influence was the earth formed? By what overwhelming power were the mountains created? By what profound knowledge was the chemistry and physics of the universe set in order? We answer quickly, by the influence, power, and knowledge of God. Yes, that is true. But more accurately, we might add, by that influence, that power, that knowledge, which is the priesthood, without which God would not be God, and without which this earth would still be matter unorganized. While this priesthood is so powerful and vast that it reaches into the creation of a universe, yet it is the same quiet power that blesses a babe, causes the blind to see, the lame to walk, and raise Lazarus from the dead. All the keys and powers of the priesthood pertaining to the earth are vested in our prophet, President David O. McKay. Only one mortal man at a time possesses all the keys of the priesthood. The power of the priesthood, so far as man is concerned, should be for one purpose only, and as stated by God Himself, that purpose is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Imagine stating in one short sentence the sum and substance of our creation, the total purpose of man throughout all eternity. And yet, it is only through the light of modern-day revelation that we as a people have access to this vital key of truth which has been revealed to us in this day. The first thing Heavenly Father mentions is immortality. We are born, we die, we live again by the gift and grace of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. For all men, regardless of race, color, or creed, will live after death. This is the great gift that He gave to the world. And while it requires no direct action on our part, certainly it involves great obligation. An obligation of gratitude, an obligation of obedience, an obligation of appreciation. Heavenly Father then mentions eternal life as the second great purpose of His works and His glory. And in another scripture, He explains that this is life eternal. To know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now, unlike immortality, eternal life involves much of you and me in a very direct manner. As we strive to know God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, we must familiarize ourselves with the standard works of the church. We must attend the meetings as outlined by our modern-day prophets, that our hearts and minds might be filled with the teachings of truth and the spirit of testimony as borne by others, and from time to time by ourselves as we are called on or feel so inclined. And thus we build a testimony. a conviction that God is. I like what Carlyle has said about conviction. He said that conviction is worthless unless it is converted into conduct. It has been taught that the basic responsibilities of the priesthood holder, as far as this life is concerned, are: share the gospel with others, provide salvation for our dead, and 3, to teach one another within the kingdom. These are the 3 great responsibilities of priesthood. Now, as you know, we have 4 great priesthood committees in the church today: the Priesthood Missionary Committee, Priesthood Genealogical Committee, Priesthood Home Teaching Committee, and a Priesthood Welfare Committee. Now, it is not unlikely that Heavenly Father is, in considering all His children who have come to mortality, thinks of us, yes, all 60 billion of us, as being in one of these 3 categories. First of all, in the one group, we have the members of the church, some 2 million members of the church living today. In another group, we have approximately 3 billion people living today, not members of the church, although they should be. We have another group, more than 60 billion, who have lived and died since Father Adam, the vast majority of whom have never had the opportunity of knowing about the gospel or enjoying membership in this great church. Now, I'd like to make 2 observations. First of all, isn't it reassuring to know that the 3 basic responsibilities of the priesthood provide for all Heavenly Father's children? Our priesthood missionary responsibility is continually reaching out for the 3 billion people living today who are not members of the church, but who should be. Number 2, our priesthood genealogical responsibility teaches and encourages all church members to find out who our progenitors were, and then to do a vital work for them which is necessary to their salvation, a work that can only be done here in this mortal sphere. And then thirdly, there are priesthood home teachers and members of welfare committees responsible to provide for the edification of all church members as we teach and care for one another. And so isn't it wonderful that the responsibilities of priesthood correspond perfectly with all of Heavenly Father's children who have ever come into mortality? There is provision for all His children that they might one day return to His presence and receive the exaltation that we speak of. It is not by coincidence that these basic priesthood responsibilities provide salvation for all Heavenly Father's children. It's a perfect plan. The Lord's house is a house of order. It was intended to be this way. Now, just to emphasize the importance of the day that we live in probing around with some men of the Bell Telephone Laboratories many years ago, I ran across this figure of perhaps 60 billion people having lived since Father Adam. I was anxious to get reaction from some of our church brethren on this figure, and President Joseph Fielding Smith seemed to feel that it was quite within reason. Now, we know that more than 3 billion people live today. We merely divide 3 into 60. Our answer is 20. Don't you think it's rather significant that 1/20 of all the people who've ever lived since Father Adam are alive today, living now, in spite of the thousands of years? 1/20 of all Heavenly Father's children are living today. I think this amplifies and emphasizes the importance of our day, the importance of the job that you and I have to do as members of this church, as holders of his priesthood. No day has ever been more important than today. We have often been reminded of spectacular progress in the fields of science and medicine during the past 100 years. 1964, to my mind personally, holds more promise than any year that the world has known. Today is the day, not yesterday, but today is the day that the Lord would have us excel and do what needs to be done with regards to priesthood. As expressed by the psalmist, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And then a great thinker of our day has said this, emphasizing today and taking from our vocabulary a word that we use in the South Pacific called taihua. Tomorrow's good enough. On this hemisphere, we know it as mañana. Tomorrow is the day when idlers work, when fools reform, and when mortal men lay hold on heaven. Tomorrow is a snare and a delusion. Tomorrow is an imposter. There is no tomorrow. Today is the day, and it's a wonderful day. And now, my wonderful young friends, 60 billions of people down through the ages and today we live, you and me. There must be a reason that we were born today rather than 1,000 years ago. I think there is a reason. And I think with this reason comes grave responsibility placed upon our shoulders. This priesthood that we've been talking about was reserved to come forth in this last dispensation for the last time in the world's history. Let me read just 2 short paragraphs from the Doctrine and Covenants. "For unto you, the 12, and those, the first presidency, who are appointed with you to be your counselors and your leaders, is the power of this priesthood given for the last days and for the last time, in the which is the dispensation of the fullness of times, which power you hold in connection with all those who have received a dispensation at any time from the beginning of the creation." And so, aren't you grateful to be living in this day as the priesthood comes to the face of the earth for the last time? Joseph Smith had a remarkable vision in the spring of 1820. There are those in the world who would think that the church was organized overnight as a result of this experience that the boy had in the grove. Don't you think it's rather significant that 9 full years later, this young lad was still without the priesthood? 9 years later, still proving himself before the Lord was sure, "This is the time, and this is the young man. Now we can proceed and establish the church in all of its fullness." And so it wasn't until 1829, until these remarkable things began to happen in connection with the priesthood. And there are hundreds and hundreds of young men here today who have gone throughout the world bearing testimony that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ. They have gone by proper commission. They have gone because someone has laid hands upon their head. And each of these young men and each of these young ladies has received a personal letter from the prophet of the church inviting them to participate in this great missionary program. Reading from the 42nd section of the Doctrine and Covenants concerning priesthood and the authority to use this priesthood. Again I say unto you, that it shall not be given to anyone to go forth and preach my gospel or to build up my church, except he be ordained by someone who has authority. And it is known to the church that he has authority and has been regularly ordained by the heads of the church. And so, here again, the Lord's house is a house of order. We must do things in a proper way, and our gospel is carried to all points of the world by that proper authority. And all that goes on in the mission field, in the wards and stakes of Zion, only by the proper priesthood authority, by those who have been properly designated. Now, there's a scripture that speaks of many being called, fewer chosen. Now, my young friends, this is true. Many are called, and fewer chosen. But I want to tell you that we have a grave responsibility. A responsibility to make certain that if we are called, that we follow through on that calling to qualify ourselves to also stand in the presence of our Heavenly Father, that He might one day say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into my presence." Behold, there are many called, but few are chosen. And why are they not chosen? Because their hearts are set so much upon the things of this world and aspire to the honors of men that they do not learn this one lesson, that the rights of the priesthood are inseparably connected with the powers of heaven, and that the powers of heaven cannot be controlled nor handled only upon the principles of righteousness. And so, young people here today, while we talk about worlds being created, while we talk about the great ultimate power of this priesthood that we hold, how are your personal financial affairs? Can you control your own personal financial affairs? How about your study habits? Do you have the self-discipline to study when you're supposed to study, and play when you're supposed to play, and have a form of recreation in the proper time? How about controlling our thoughts? Are we thinking the right thoughts, or do we allow our thoughts to wander into aimless fields? How about that new car, young men? Is this new car more important than going on a mission, being of service in our Heavenly Father's kingdom? Oh, nothing is more important if we really start thinking seriously about this. And so when Heavenly Father says that our hearts are set so much upon the things of this world and aspire to the honors of men, that we do not learn this one lesson, that the rights of the priesthood are inseparably connected with the powers of heaven, and the powers of heaven cannot be controlled nor handled only upon the principles of righteousness. Now, young ladies, you're probably saying to yourself, "Well, I suppose I've wasted my time this morning. They're talking about the priesthood, and that certainly doesn't include me." Now, I'd like to let you know, in no uncertain terms, that the only reason you don't hold the priesthood is because you don't need the priesthood. If you needed the priesthood, you'd have it. But I want you to show me a man who has gone any place in this church without a sweetheart and companion standing at his side. Now, you might find an isolated case. But for every isolated case, I'll show you 1,000 men who haven't materialized in their priesthood callings because there hasn't been a sweetheart and companion at his side to give him the encouragement that he needs and to complete the union, which is part and parcel with the priesthood. And in terms of eternity and exaltation, there's not one man with a priesthood. Who can magnify his priesthood to that extent, except he have a sweetheart and companion at his side, to be with him and to share with him in the great responsibilities and blessings that come with the priesthood of our Heavenly Father. Now I'd like to be personal for just a moment, and I'd like to let you young ladies here today know that the greatest inspiration that has come into my life on a daily basis are 30 or 40 precious seconds as my sweetheart comes and gives me a little peck on the cheek and says something like that, something like, "Honey, do a good job today." I couldn't do anything but a good job today with that kind of encouragement. And I want to tell you that my priesthood wouldn't amount to very much without this kind of sweet companionship and encouragement from day to day in the job that needs to be done. It's better than any paycheck. It's better than any promotion. It's better than any praise that I might have received from the boss or anyone else up and down the line. Now I mean that because it's true. I had a very choice experience over the weekend, for I traveled to a state conference down in the San Francisco Bay Area, and there was a wonderful sister there who was a member of the Relief Society General Board. Sister Elliot is the daughter of President George Albert Smith. You know what she told me? She told me that on the very last day of President Smith's life, the family had gathered around his bedside. He was breathing more deeply. They were concerned. And the doctor had stepped aside, letting the family draw close. And the eldest son leaned over, and he said, "Father, is there something you'd like to say to the family? Something special?" And then she went on to describe this great prophet with a smile on his lips, saying, "Yes, only this. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth." Possibly the last word spoken by a prophet of the Lord in this dispensation. And then I'm reminded of an incident just a few years ago as my own grandmother lay on her bed just moments before passing. And she had been in a coma. And finally she opened her eyes. And taking her daughter by the hand, she said, "They've allowed me to come back for just a moment. They've allowed me to come back for just a moment." And then these final words, "I've seen the prophets. They're real. Be true to them." And so, young people of the church, the prophets are real. The priesthood is real. The gospel has been restored in this day. You have been reserved to be born in this day. Not just to be born, but to do something about it. And to magnify that priesthood, and to stand beside the priesthood, if that is your role, and to look forward to an eternal progression that is beautiful and sweet. And sometimes we become discouraged. And we look about us and we say, "Well, he's a member of the church and look what he's doing." And I say to you, young people, when we see actions like this, it's not because of the church, It's in spite of the church. But remember one thing. We're living in mortality. We're human beings. And we have human imperfections. We're down here, and we're trying to get into the presence of our Heavenly Father, and it's all uphill. And as long as we go uphill, there will be problems to overcome. And as long as we go uphill, this mortal body will resist going uphill. And it'll struggle and strain and will say, I'd rather sit still, I'd rather go downhill. But the power of the priesthood tells us that we must keep going on. And we must perfect our lives, and we must gain that has been promised us ere we left his presence. And so, in conclusion, may I leave you with this thought. Also reading from a great revelation on priesthood, speaking directly about the priesthood. Let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. Then shall thy confidence wax strong in the presence of God. And the doctrine of the priesthood shall distill upon the soul as the dews from heaven. The Holy Ghost shall be thy constant companion and thy scepter and unchanging scepter of righteousness and truth. And thy dominion shall be an everlasting dominion, and without compulsory means that shall flow unto thee forever and ever. Young people of the church, do you realize that the prophet Joseph had been struggling for 10 years to establish this church, all uphill, struggling, fighting the adversary, fighting with his neighbors, finally cast into prison, and sitting on the floor of this prison, out of his mind, through the inspiration of the Lord, comes this beautiful thought. If he were a normal man, thinking the normal thoughts of men, after what he had been through, and after being cast into prison, and after suffering all these indignities, do you think this sort of thinking could come out of that mind? But this is the Lord speaking through the mind of a prophet. And the doctrine of the priesthood shall distill upon thy soul as the dews from heaven. And this is exactly what had happened to him in his plight. And the Holy Ghost shall be thy constant companion and the scepter of unchanging righteousness and truth. Young people of the church, God lives. Jesus is the Christ. This priesthood has been restored in our day. We have serious obligations in that direction. And I bear you this testimony in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.